Well, that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit this morning. Old taste. And I believe that's found in the 34th Psalm. In the 8th verse, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O taste. Well, taste is one of the five senses. And I noticed in years of studying the Bible that the Lord often used something, many things. He used parable of sowers and the fields and rivers and storms and the things that are understood by life to prove the points of the Scripture. And taste is, I think, is one of those things. It is absolutely universal to all people. And it's not only universal to all people, it's universal to all time. From the very beginning, people could taste. And in that, it allows us to get certain information. And there's also a sense there of whether you like it or you don't. I mean, something that doesn't taste good is really hard to eat. I mean, really hard to eat. And I think it's ironic that, you know, I used to say, well, why can't ice cream be the healthiest food on the planet? But it's not. But it's because I like it, and it's easy for me to want to eat it. At home, sometimes it's very common for us, if we taste something and we like it, that we want to tell somebody else in the house about it, if it's new or it's unusual or if we just concocted it. I have every year it's called, I make what's called, we call snowy day soup. And what it derived from was days it's too bad for me to get out and do anything and piddling around, and I would make this soup, and it's made with a little, I take deer meat and chunk it up into small parts. Well, for you more sophisticated people, that's venison. At home, it's venison if you get it fairly quickly, but if you got to drag the deer for a couple miles, it's deer meat. And so that's kind of the way we do it at home, but I chunk it up kind of small and brown it, and then I season it with powdered ranch and some cayenne pepper, and then I will cook some potatoes and green peppers and maybe some celery or something like that, and then you end up putting that together into a mushroom kind of base, and it makes a soup, and the family really likes it. And when I make it, usually the first thing you do when you make it, you taste it. And want to know if that works this time, if it's what I wanted it to be and imagined it to be, and if it's up to a certain quality, then I'll almost always say, Linda, I take a little bowl and a spoon and, hey, Linda, you gotta try this. I want you to experience this. You know, it tastes good. But it's not unusual at all at my house for one of my daughters to come up with some kind of a drink with lemon and lime and various whatever. But if she does, a lot of times she says, Dad, you want to taste this? And be honest with you, I know what it's like. And I almost always, it has to be unusual for me not to want to experience that, because I know the excitement of it. I know the feeling. It doesn't really feel good to say, hey, I got this, and do you want to taste it? Hey, here, taste this. No, I'm not interested in tasting that. Well, wait, I just done this. You know, my wife does it regularly to me. If she makes something, I'm glad to be this guy. I mean, it's a good job, you know. But I'm the guy that says, yeah, hey, how is this? How's the potato salad? Is it okay? Does it need more of this? Does it need more of that? I think some of you brothers definitely can relate with this. You want to taste it, but if she makes something, a lot of times it's good. She wants to share the experience. It's We want everybody, we want somebody else to know about it too. Oh, taste the Lord. If you taste the Lord, I'm confident if you get a good taste, you'll say it's good. What's going to come out of this is going to be good. And so I like to share those kind of things. And when we get something that's really good, to me it's kind of like, I like to fish and hunt and those kind of things. But the edge is taken off if I don't have somebody to share it with. It's a whole lot better for me to be fishing with one of my sons. And then when I get a hold of a good one, I can let out a hoop and say, looky here. I mean, there's always something added by being able to share the experience. We all want one another to experience this. And many times, I'm not the kind of guy that says, I know some guys that you ask them where they caught the fish and they'll say, in the water. That's all they're going to tell you. But if you come and say, wait, what'd you get to see? I will tell you where it's at and hope that you go and do as well as I do, because I had a wonderful experience with it and I want you to experience it too. I think it's a Dr. Seuss jingle. Anybody want some green eggs and ham? I am Sam. Sam I am. You want some green eggs and ham? You want it here? You want it there? No, I don't like them. I don't want them here or there. I don't want them with a mouse or in a house. I don't want them with a fox in a box. I don't want them on a train in the rain. I don't like them and I ain't eating them. Oh, try them. And you may. Oh, try them, I say. You never know if you don't try them. Even if you've tried the Lord and you can come away and say it is good, do you know we're really prone to making boxes in our life? And you can really have faith in God in areas, and you can really put the Lord in your life in areas, and then you can have places that you just don't allow the Lord much idea in there. You don't give me much room in there. You don't. He's in there. I knew a guy that was seemed so devout. I talked to him a lot about the Lord, and he absolutely cut the Lord off of being in his business. When it come to his business, he felt like he couldn't afford to have the Lord in it because it was brutal. Business is brutal, and you got to be sharp and shrewd, and you got to do things that you otherwise do. In every other area of his life that I talked to him about, he had the Lord strong in there, and would just it was about the Lord. But this area, he told me one time, I don't mix business and religion. And I'm thinking, boy, that's where I'd really want the Lord at. Because I'm not going to do right in there in some of these areas where your scruples can really be challenged in those kind of areas. If you're serious about the Lord, taste the Lord in that area too. Put the Lord in there and you'll find out that He's good, and you'll find out God can work miracles in business too. And God can make things to come out right in all the situations. We know we're desperate for this. We're desperate to have the Lord in our marriages, in our homes, in our families. We're desperate to have the Lord in our situations in that. I want to reckon to you, as the old children's thing went, try him, and you may. You may find that he is a God that works in all of our lives. Many years ago, I went out and picked some mushrooms late summer up in West Virginia. A lot of the, especially the white oak foresters and stuff, there's what they call milkies. I think what we call them was bradleys, but there's milkies, and they're a big mushroom. They're a very meaty mushroom. And I went out and picked a bunch. Some of us went and picked some of these mushrooms and come back and prepared these mushrooms. And there really isn't much lookalikes. There's not a lot of danger. I don't know how it even happened. But there must have been something that was kind of a lookalike. Because I prepared these mushrooms, and my dad just really loved these mushrooms. You just kind of got them, and you either put them in some egg and flour, or maybe not just the egg, just flour, and you kind of rolled them in that, and then you fried them in you know, and some salt and pepper and stuff. And it was very meaty, almost a beefy type mushroom. It was really, really good. My dad just loved them. And so he got a big plate full of them and he was going on into it. And just a few pieces into that, he got into something that wasn't one of those, which is very flavorful and very good. And he got into one of these that just about turns your mouth inside out. And he bit down on that and he started a reaction of a spitting and gagging and getting that out of there kind of experience. And he told me, and I said, I couldn't imagine that happening. Nothing wrong with mine. And in a little bit, I got a hold of obviously a piece of the same mushroom, and it was one of the worst things I ever had in my mouth. And you about couldn't get the flavor out of there. It was really, really hard. And I really think that what happens with people many times is that they get too much religion. They get a bite of religion without salvation. You know, religion without salvation is a horrible thing. It can be an awful binding. It can be awful depressing. It can be rules without a heart. And it can be everything that you wouldn't want somebody to eat. It can be something that you wouldn't want anybody you love to have. I ain't promoting any of that today. I'm promoting an experience with the Lord that I know worked because I've had it work for me. And I know where I've had to be challenged and where I dare to put the Lord in my life. And there's places it's a struggle. There really is places that we want to hold on to sometimes and hang on to. But I want to tell you, in the places where I got to, that I was willing to put the Lord in and taste the Lord and try Him in this area, I want to tell you, the Lord come out always tasting very good. Come out saying, Lord, you do it better than I ever could do it. I wouldn't understand that. I was afraid to let loose of it. I was afraid not to have my control in it. I seemed like that I was going to be completely out of control or out of that. And you know what? The Lord's able to take care of those things in there. I mean, there's a lot of things in there that comes away and have these experiences and they ain't tasting the Lord. Years ago, Brother Ivan and I was holding a tent meeting in Junction City, Kentucky. Yeah. And we were before the meeting, we was going out and into all the areas we could. We was going out door to door just contacting people and inviting them into the meetings, and it was one of my more I really loved doing it. It was always a challenge. It was always a challenge with the flesh because of the potentials of things that could be. You went up to one door and before I could say anything, the guy just slammed the door in my face. It was a rarity. Most of the time, people are pretty courteous, even if they don't want what you're doing. They most of the time, but you do put something at risk. And so we was out doing that, and I went to this place and was talking to this guy, and he was a very cordial guy. And I was talking to him, and as I left, I looked over at another place, and the guy says, "I wouldn't go over there if I was you." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, they got a big old dog over there." And I said, that ain't too bad thing to face. And so I went with my stuff over there, but I had that in my mind the whole time about this big dog. So I walked up to this door. It was kind of like a double wide deal. I walked up to the door and the main door was open, but the screen door was fastened the lock, and so I knock on the door. And when I knocked on the door, I heard a rumble in that house. And I looked, and here come this. I don't know how big a Rottweiler could get, but this one had maxed out. This one was a big dog, and he came running. And I started backing away from the door, and the dog hit that door and busted it wide open. And I'm backing up all the same time, and the dog's going, and every time I kind of go down to shield myself, the dog was would let up just a little, and he's going for my legs, and I was backing up, and they had kind of an SUV there, and I just almost went on top of it. It was my next thought when I heard this screaming, and this woman, she came out of there, and she was, of course, excited and very upset that there was an intruder, that I was the intruder, and came barreling out to me, and I got attacked by the dog, but I think he was kind of calm compared to her. She was really, really upset. So there I'm standing like this, thankful that the owner come out, and she's trying to tell me how I'm supposed to react to a dog attack. Don't you know that you're just supposed to stand still? And she's this stuff, and uh-huh. And I told her, I said, well, I was about to leave shoe prints up on top of your car. That's the way I was about to respond. Anyway, she went through that, and then she just looked and said, and what are you doing here anyway? And I seized the opportunity. And I said, well, why I'm here is we're having, I don't want to hear about nothing about it. Okay, I'm sorry that it happened and all. And she said a few words, and I said, well, can you help me out with something? And now that really got her, that I was going to ask her for help at this point. And she kind of said, what? I said, well, I'm very passionate about what I'm doing. I do this, and I'm very passionate about it. And you could just help me by letting me know why someone like you wouldn't want what I'm trying to do. If you can help me with that, then I will be better at what I do. Why wouldn't you want what I'm trying to do? She said, well, what are you trying to do? Well, that's what I wanted to get to. We're having a tent meeting, and we're doing this and the Lord and this and that. And she talked with it and a little bit, and she calmed down. And then she said, well, I'll just be honest with you. That's what I want. I said, I want you to lay it on me because I want to be better at what I do. And she said, we went to church. We come here and we went to church, and she named the church. We used to go down here. And then she started telling me about what went on. This and this, and why she would never go back, and why she had no interest in it. It's because it about made her puke. It was too bad to eat. And she couldn't take it. And it was all human rules. It was all a system. It was all a business. It was all of these things. And the best thing that I could say to the end of it is I said, ma'am, if you'll allow me, I want to tell you something. I probably will never see you again. But I want to leave you with something that's very important. Everything that you mentioned has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Nothing. That is all. It's true. I don't doubt a word you're saying. But it has nothing to do with what Jesus came to do for you.
That's right.
And I probably will never see you again, so I'm never going to have the opportunity to ever say it again. But the only thing I can leave you with is that if you ever feel the needs and God's not working with you, do away with all of that. Let the Lord lead you. Find the Lord. Make a relationship with the Lord. Because I'm convinced if you get a good taste of him, you'll say like Peter said when the Lord said, will you go away also? You'll say, where would we go? There's no place else for me to go. Listen, I was in the world for a section of my life, and I run hard and tried things and all this, and all of it was all intended to make me happy and make something satisfied and worth understanding and things to be right, and couldn't find it anywhere. And then I found the Lord. Well, I'd say the Lord found me. And I found the Lord, and I got an experience. And everything else paled in comparison to that experience. I've played the big championship games. I've done the sports deal. I've done all of the things. I've hunted, I've fished. I've done other things in the world and try to make yourself happy and do all those kind of things. And I never got the sense and feeling that I did when I found the Lord. Something overwhelmed about it. A great sense of well-being and peace within me overshadowed everything that I ever done. I tasted of the Lord. And I found out something. He's good. It's good. It's the best flavor. It's the best taste. It's satisfying. It's nutritious too. But you know, a lot of times in this world say, eat this, it's good for you. And you know if you hear that. It's not a good thing. I want to say, eat this, it's good for you. But you know, it's going to taste good too. Well, there's scriptures that talk about eating some of the bitter things that's in there too. But when we start talking about the relationship of the Lord, oh, taste that it is good. There's something about it that can't be done any other way. And I wanted this woman, and it did make me better, folks. It made me better. It made me to understand what we are dealing with, trying to get someone to try it. And then you may like it if you'll try it. I'm not willing to try it. I've tried it. I've done this, and I'm not willing to try it. I've seen the hurts. I've seen the heartaches. I've been there and that. No. You've tried religion. You've tried your own ways. I'm talking about tasting the Lord.
Yes.
And you'll find out that He's good.
Amen.
We're going to look at a scripture, and oh, it's a familiar scripture. It's one of my favorite stories in the scripture is the third chapter of John, about Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I'd like to know more. Bible says what it says, but you have to have just a little liberty in here to think about old Nicodemus and what all was going on in his heart and mind. I'd like to have been able to talk to him. Because I'd like to say, well, Nicodemus, brother, when did you start feeling like this? I mean, obviously, I wouldn't think that it just happened the first time he ever heard. Something started, the Lord started dealing with Nicodemus. The Spirit of the Lord started talking to him, and back down in there in the hearts of the things that he learned, and he was a Pharisee, and he was he was understanding of scriptures and all those kind of things. I wonder if some of the ends didn't start being tied together, and he was saying, you know, that there is a scripture for that. There, you know, I probably did say something about that, and all these things, and God dealing with him, and I like to know that from old Nicodemus, because something was going on with him, but probably the noise of the world in his ears, probably the noise in the world was that he's an evil man, that he's wicked, and he's trying to tear down our way, and let's get rid of him, and all the things that went, but down in there somewhere, Nicodemus, was something stirring. Something was stirring up, and he probably kept asking himself over and over, how can a man do these miracles? Well, how can a man do these miracles? Show me somewhere. Show me the proof of this. Where? How can he do these miracles like this? How can he go on? I can't find the evil with him. They're saying all these things, but he's doing good for good. He's doing good to people. He's helping them. What's going on here? Try him. Then you may. Well, he was caught between two worlds. I've been there. Caught between two worlds. What if I'm wrong? What, this? I wouldn't dare for my fellows to see me walk up to him with the way I know I'm going to have to react with him. I don't want that to be seen. So maybe he thought, maybe I'll go. No, it's still daylight. I don't know. He's caught between two worlds. But inside of him, I believe Nicodemus had something working and stirring inside of him that I'll never be satisfied. I'll never be satisfied until I go myself. I want to go taste that. I think I can know if I get to go taste it. If I can be in his presence. And I can walk away satisfied that he's either in or he's not. If I can just experience this, I hear them old saints say things, and I remember when I was young in the Lord and first coming, and I went to Monarch, and somebody says, oh, the Lord just, I had this prayer, and the Lord just touched me. I went to y'all, and the ministers prayed for me, and jumped out, and I heard all these messages, and testimonies, and I said, it all sounds good. Thank the Lord. I'm glad God working like that. But I ain't tasted that. I want to taste. I want to know. Is this hyper reactions to things? Is this real? Is it? I want to know. Lord, I want to know that you're real for myself. I want to taste this. And you know what? I said, I want to trust God. I want to trust God. I want to trust God for healing. I wasn't ever sick. Lord, I want to trust. I'm going to trust you. I want to taste this. You know what? The Lord let me taste it. I got sick. I got really sick. And I got fevered. And I'm looking for that instantaneous, overwhelming, I want to taste it. I want to be prayed for, and I want to say yes to this. That's not what I tasted. I tasted the most heavenly experience I ever had in my life. I told the Lord, I'm going to trust you, live or die. I want to know your realities, and I want the experience. And right in the middle of that sick time, the Lord came down in the middle, and I words don't quite explain this, because I was sick and my body still hurt, if I can say this. My body still hurt, but it was overwhelmed with something. The presence of the Lord came down so much in my soul that my body hurt, and I was glad for it. I wouldn't have cared how much it hurt, because the presence of the Lord in my soul was so overwhelming that I tasted the presence of the Lord. You know, that moment has taught me something that has stuck out there to me as a earnest of God, that I know what heaven, I only tasted a little bit of heaven. But I want to say this, that when God puts His presence with you, you can go through anything. I know why those martyrs did what they did. I know how they was able to do it. Because when the presence of the Lord was with them and they knew, felt that presence of the Lord, there wasn't, you say, well, the Lord erased the pain. I ain't so sure He erased the pain. He don't have to. He overwhelmed it. He overwhelms it. Yeah, He can take the pain away, sure. But He don't have to. He can overwhelm it with His presence. And that you've heard some of the stories about those. I want to tell you, they tasted of the Lord and they said, He's good. He's good and He does these things. And I said to the Lord, I want to trust the Lord too. And that was the experience He gave to me. It was no instantaneous healing. I got better in a couple of days. I started getting better and I got better. But the experience of the Lord in the middle of it was so real and so dynamic to me that I've never forgotten. It was so much better than the physical healing. It was a touch to my soul for eternity. It was giving me something that can never, ever be taken away from me. I had the presence of the Lord there. And it remains. That is an experience. Oh, Nicodemus is caught between the worlds and he needs an experience. He needs something that's going to do something for him. I want to tell you, I believe, if you'll give me the liberty of this, the Scripture doesn't really say it this way. I believe that Jesus gave Nicodemus something that day that locked him in. He tasted something. Can you imagine the most recognizable scripture in the Bible is John 3:16. Did you know Jesus was looking into a man's heart, into his eyes, into his soul when he said that? We take that as very powerful. But can you imagine the very one that words could not be resisted? The one that spake like no other man did in an absolute power of authority. He had absolutely authority, and in love he looked in this man's eyes and said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He said something to Nicodemus that we know by the record that Nicodemus might have stuck around this night, but he didn't stick around all nights. Something happened to Nicodemus that he's recorded in the Bible as one of the ones that took the body of Jesus. How can it be recorded and be private anymore? No, he was known now. He done something for there. I believe Nicodemus got to taste of the Lord. And when he did, right there, I think when Nicodemus left that night from the presence of the Lord, he was set to never be the same again. Something just happened to him. He went to find out. I think he was skeptical. And I think he was suspicious. And I think he had every right to be. Because there was a lot of frauds and imposters and those kinds of things running around and things that said and all those kinds of things. You know, God doesn't really, he's not like a human that gets his feelings hurt because somebody's skeptical about something. He knows he can do what he can do with you. He knows what he can do with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus gave the Lord, my point, Nicodemus gave the Lord the opportunity to do it with him. He came to taste. Oh, taste of the Lord that he is good. Oh, trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Taste of him and you'll find out that he's good. And he gave him the opportunity. Lord, help us in our lives to broaden the opportunities that we have to be able. We all want to be able to testify of the Lord. I want to tell you, the ones that in the scriptures that had the testimony of the Lord are the one that gave the Lord the room to give him the testimony. He's the one that tasted of the Lord. He put himself into the place. Paul had an outstanding testimony of God. And he kept putting himself into position to get another one. And he put himself into that. I'm like, well, I'll just trust the Lord with this too. And I'll just go, oh, yeah. And they said to him, Paul, you're talking, listen, if you go up there to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen to you. Done a little demonstration. They're going to gird you up. They're going to bound you. And Paul says, I'm not only willing to be bound, I'm willing to die. I'm going to taste the Lord again. Oh, I have another experience here. I'm going to taste the Lord again. The Lord's going to give me something else to say and something else to say. I'm going to have another testimony. And another brightness. I'm going to have another area. Well, you think about, oh, I won't go there or do that. No, I'm going to find out what the Lord's about. That's what I want. I want to see what the Lord's about in this. Is he real? Lord, help us. It's been one of the things in my ministry for a long time and in my life, and something I think about a lot is the discrepancy that we can have the way we feel and what we do in church services and what we feel and the way we act outside of there. Sometimes we act like there's no God. Sometimes we don't act like he's real. And we go on to go show the world that he's real, but then we don't really act like he's very real. He's not very meaningful, and it doesn't mean much. And Lord, help us. This is only a place to come and to be edified. This is a place to come and have some fellowship. This is not the mission field. This is not where we stay, not where we belong. God has so much more than that. Oh, Nicodemus got a taste. I believe it helped him all of his life. He got a taste of the Lord, and he said, was able to say, and it is good. Another scripture I want to look at. Oh, it was in John. I think it's the first chapter of John. The 45th verse. It says, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, Yippee! I've been waiting, let's go! No, he was skeptical. He was skeptical. You think he didn't have a right to be skeptical? I don't know if you've ever looked at the history of that, but this isn't the, Jesus wasn't the first one to come around that they said was the Christ. You know, they didn't look for the Messiah coming for 400 years or something. They had a lot of opportunity for somebody to rise up and say, I'm him, I'm him. You want to get a movement, you want to get something going. That, you know, another thing that's universal to mankind, he's been corrupt for a long time. And he does a lot of corruptions. And Nathaniel had every right to be skeptical of somebody just coming up and saying, we found the Messiah. Yeah, well, this is the 12th one you found this month. Come on. But, you know, I mean, I ain't falling for this. And then he said, Nathaniel, we found him. Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, try him, and you may. Come and see. Just come and see. Ain't telling you any more than that. Isn't that really our message? You think I can impart anything of my experience to you? You think I can make you feel anything or make you taste anything? The message is a call. We call to say, come taste. Come see. And you know, honestly, I think I speak for all of the ministers. We're not afraid to put you in his hands. I'm not afraid to put you in his hands. Amen. That's the hands I want to get you to. Yes. I'm not afraid to leave you and your experience with the Lord. I don't have to manipulate you, drive you, force you. None of those things. It's not my job. It's not my place. It's way above my calling. Yes. All I got to do is bring you to the Lord. If you're sincere, it will work. If you're not sincere, I can't make you sincere. Rules won't do it. Forcing you won't do it. Twisting your arm won't do it. Only thing it is, it's a call. That's all it's ever been. There's a call. Jesus died for you. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus can take care of your emotional problems, your physical problems. He can take care of your financial problems. He can take care of the old sins that's in you. He can wipe those. He can take care of all the problems. Come and see. That's all I can say. That's all the call that I've got. Jesus died and he died for you. And come and see. Come see. Oh, Nathaniel. Phil says to Nathaniel, okay, doubt me. But give this liberty. Come see. I'm going to say you got something too big on you today or something you haven't been able to get let loose. The only thing I can say to you is come try. Come see if the Lord won't bless you. Come and see if the Lord won't start changing that situation. He's done it for others and he'll do it for you. So here's the Nathaniel. Jesus saw Nathaniel coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Well, obviously, Nathanael was within hearing. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Don't remember ever meeting this guy before. I've heard about him, whatever. I don't know what was going on exactly. Jesus testifies of Nathanael, so we know his character. We know what kind of a person he was. Jesus wouldn't have said this thing if he wasn't a devout man and a man given to the things of God. He lacked the understandings, of course, of his day and time. But he was a man that God knew. And he comes and Jesus speaks of him, and Nathanael's reaction to him is, when I ever meet you. I don't remember ever meeting you. Nathanael said unto him, which knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Wouldn't you like to really know? You know, there is a lot of between the line stuff in the scriptures that leaves a whole story. I mean, it leaves there's volumes between the lines. Wouldn't you? If I ever get the chance to ask Nicodemus, I'm going to ask him. If I ever get to ask Nathanael what that was about, I'm going to ask him. I'd like to know the particulars of what that was, because he knew what it was. I can speculate, but I'm going to tell you, Nathaniel knew exactly what he was talking about. That was the exact statement. Philip, the only thing he says is, if Philip would have had known what Jesus knew and said, or suppose it this way, Jesus tells Philip, said, go get Nathaniel and tell him that I saw him under the fig tree and come on. I'd say that wouldn't have been, he wouldn't have reacted like, what good thing come out of Nazareth? No, there was something powerful there to him with that. But the call is, Jesus is available. Come. Come. If you'll come, he'll reveal those things to you too. When you're saying, Lord, are you real? Your sincere heart, God's going to let you know that. He's going to let you know it. He did Nathaniel. Nathaniel was skeptical and suspicious and all of those things. And Jesus knew all that, so he just got down to the heart of it. Said, Nathaniel, I saw you under the fig tree. I was there too. Nathaniel knew somebody was there. He didn't know who it was. He knew that there was somebody there. Nathaniel answered and said unto him, Rabbi, it's Master. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Well, now that's quite a reversal off of one statement, isn't it? Have you ever had the Lord touch you like that? Have you ever had the Lord just absolutely solve something for you? And you know it? You knew that was the Lord. The Lord did that. I have tasted so many places of the Lord. I've experienced that He's real. He's real. We can tell people He's real. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. He saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto to you, hereafter you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Oh, I'm going to tell you. He cracked the door for Nathaniel. And then he told him what was on the other side. I've cracked the door, Nathaniel, but now the door is going to swing wide open for you and you're going to have the experience of the Lord. If you're here today, the message is to try him. And then you may. If you're here today and you said, you're the one that said, you know, this, I tried this. I've been to the altar with people many times that said, I have tried this and tried it and tried it and it just don't seem to work for me. You know, that's not the Lord. The problem is somewhere here. And the Lord knows what it is. And He knows how to get to it. Because this is just like the term taste. Everybody's got taste. Yes. Under some circumstances, you know, you lose your taste. But it's a widespread idea of tasting the Lord and knowing that He's good. We'll look at another scripture. Oh, let's see. I think it's in Acts. Seventeenth chapter, I think, is what I want. 10th verse says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now, looking into that, I remember thinking about the idea of noble and what he was referring to. And it was true that the people of Berea was of a considerable higher class, I think, than the Thessalonica. But that's not what he's talking about. Because they're not more noble necessarily. I think they were more noble in the fact that they had a heart, a willingness of mind. A willingness of mind to say, I'm going to find out the realities of this. I'm going to see whether or not God works in these areas or he doesn't. They didn't take it just for themselves. I've heard people before say, of our Church of God standards, and I've heard people say things like this. I don't know. I don't really have a conviction for it. So I pray, God, if it's right, give me a conviction. Amen. Amen. I want to do it right. I'm not drawing back, but I don't just want to do it without understanding to it. I don't want to make myself that way. Lord, I want the reality of it. I just don't want human thinking. I don't want that. I want something more than that. I mean, it's wise to look at those. I've done it in my experience myself. I looked at those that went before me that were godly men and devout people, and saw God work with them and saw the way they lived their life. And so I said, I'm going to do that too. Because I see God working with them. So I'm going to be careful about my life. I'm going to do those kind of things. But in the middle of that, Lord, I want my own experience about it too. I want to dream in the night. I want to feel it. I want to feel it. I don't want to have to live it. The devil come to me and make me fail. I want to dream. And you know, I've had dreams that would do the same purpose in it. And I come away feeling the guilt of the dream and saying, Lord, I know what you're talking about there. God will deal with us in those kind of ways. They were more noble because they had a readiness of mind to allow the Lord to let them taste. Let them get their own experience. How do you know what something tastes like if you don't ever taste it? You know, the way we relate with one another is, I'll say, y'all ever eat crawfish? Yeah. You ever eat crawfish? There was a time that you and your daddy, I don't know if you remember this, they said, do you ever eat crawfish? And I said, no, but I'm willing. I'm willing. So we had some crawfish. First time they tried to tell me how it tasted. I don't know how what's a crawfish taste like anyway? Well, some people have to get by that sucking that whole thing out and stuff, you know. But I'm a willing participant. I just done what, hey, when Rome does Rome, they did it, I did it, you know, I know what they taste like. I can get the experience of crawfish now because I've tasted it. I've eaten them, picked them out, done all that. I know what the whole boil's about, the whole thing. I know what the taste is now, but I never knew it before I got it. There's only one way to live for the Lord, and that's through an experience of God. That's through the experience. I gotta taste it. Lord, I can follow along. You all just be good people and follow along like our rules say. Oh, what a shabby way. It's not fulfilling. That's not fulfilling, people, just to do that. Of course we say, protect yourself and use the way, and you're wise to do some of that. But it's a shallow experience to just quit there and say, this is what I am. I'm just a good little church boy. And I do. I've always kept the standards. Well, what about the standards? I don't even know what they're for. I don't know what they're about. But I do them. I think there's a better experience than that. Amen. There's an experience to where God's talked to me in my heart. And I know these things are right because the Lord has done them for me. There's nothing like those kind of experience where the Lord shows up on the scene. And we have many, many of those kind of things. I experienced it. And now I can say, the Lord is good. I tell this experience a lot, but I own it, so it's mine. And it's meaningful to me. But in the hardest time of my life, and I'm standing with the wits in, I told the Lord, standing there, told the Lord, looking up, said, and I felt in my mind's eye like I had the very shredded end of a rope in the ends of my fingers, and that's all I was holding on to, and that was a vision in my mind, and I told the Lord, I'm at my wits' end. There wasn't one bit or desire in my heart to quit. I wasn't talking about quitting. I was talking about something overwhelming me, too much for me, and I had all the ends of it, and I told the Lord, I cried out to him and said, Lord, I'm at my wits' end. If you don't help me, Lord, I'm going to be destroyed. And it was like the Lord opened heaven's, it's just like the Bombay doors opened and grace, not one thing about my situation changed. But the grace of God so flooded me that I knew that the years ahead, I would be able to face those things with my shoulders squared back. I'd be able to do it because God overwhelmed me with a grace. Thank God that He'll do what I can't do. You got to taste the Lord. You got to have the experience of that. And now when those kind of things, I'm going to tell you what it's done for me. I'll claim to be above everything else. But by the grace of God, the U.S. economy can fall. The society can crumble around. And if God will pour out that grace to me, I've got it.
Amen.
Not by myself. But when we start talking those things and my family talks those things, I always point them to God's able to keep us. He kept Joseph in a foreign land. He kept Daniel in a foreign land. The three Hebrew children in a foreign land. He's kept the whole... Jesus come at one of the most decadent times of the Roman Empire and all those things. It was filthy, dirty. And He built a church of saved people right in the middle of it. And you know what? He can do the same thing with us right in the middle of our society too. Thank the Lord that He can. But you know what? These people up in Berea, they just didn't say, well, let's just be good little boy. They said, no! I'm going to find out if it's recorded. I'm going to find out whether or not this is really God or not. I don't think there was any saying that this isn't, or they wasn't trying to find it out. It was a readiness of mind. In our heart to find what the truth was. And to ask legitimate, not selfish questions or trying to get me to be able to do something or be in the standard or I want to live this way so I'm going to try to twist it around. No! I want to know what the truth is.
Yes.
And if it's the truth, I want it. Because I want to taste the Lord. I want to know what God's really got. So these people at Berea, it says, were more noble. It said that they received the word with all readiness of mind. So they received the word, but then they searched.
Yes.
And this says, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Is this true?
Yes.
And Lord, in my day and time, what do you want me to do? It's easy sometimes to allow ourselves to just get inside the box and live the whole inside the box experience and never desire or anything outside of the box. But I think the readiness of mind in searching the scriptures daily is to say, Lord, is there anything outside the box? What is it that you want me to experience?
Yes.
What do you want me to understand better than I've ever understood before? I will say this in my life, and probably in yours too. Every time I start talking about the broader ideas of things, the Lord usually narrows my scope right down into my own personal heart, my own life, and what I don't know about me. It's not to understand the great dynamics of the universe, and the Lord can let me know that too. If He wants me to know it, but He usually just brings it down to my own personal world, my own personal life. And when I get to wondering why somebody acts a certain way like they do, the Lord almost never just comes and tells me. That's the first thing you need to know is what everybody else is doing. No, what He generally does is to say why you respond in the way you are. Why are you dealing with that? Is there a place? I said this before. Several people heard me, but I felt like the Lord put me in a position, was dealing with some people, and they wasn't just acting right. They just was challenging me. It was a challenge is what it was. It ended up being a challenge because people that claim Christianity and claim to be like that, they shouldn't be that way. And I felt like the Lord had put me in a position to help these people. And when I found out that they was lying to me, I mean, what are you going to do? Somebody lying to you, right? I don't want them to tell me lies. And I said, okay. In my mind, I said, okay. That's it. I'm done. And I felt so plainly spoken to of the Lord, well, I must have picked the wrong fellow. I wanted somebody to stay there and help them. What do you think? If nobody lies or nobody cheats or nobody has thoughts or they don't have any temptation and all that, they don't need no help. You can go on home anyway. I want you to help them because they don't understand. They don't have the grace for this. They don't have the ability. I'm sitting there saying, I'm sorry, Lord. Here I am again in my humanity trying to figure things out. You put me here to help. Let me help. Lord, let me help. You say, well, hopefully I can help liars, people that lie. I will say this. I had said to these people at one point, I told them about, there's always complaining. Nothing was ever right. Always complaining about this and about that. And I said to them, you should be thankful. Thankful for this. And so I gave them scriptures. In all things, give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. Give thanks for this. I didn't want them to have no idea that that sunk in. And some months later, I hadn't talked to them in a while. Some months later, I got a message and was talking to them. And they said, I said, well, how's things going? This and that. And said, well, no, this is not going well. But we're thanking the Lord the way you taught us. And I was like, hallelujah. First time I remember anybody ever saying, I've done what you... But that was... I really said, maybe I did help them a little bit. You want to help them all at once, but maybe I did get some help to them. They've actually got problems in it thanking the Lord and saying, this is what you taught them. We believed it. And we believed it. And their whole disposition was better. They were so much better. So much better in their spirit than they was before. They had more hope than they had before. They were thanking the Lord for the problems that they had. That's the way. That's the way. And you know what I felt like? I felt like they tasted. I don't think he got a big enough bite, but they got a taste. They got a taste to say, hey, you know what? This is better. It is better to be thankful. It is better to do this than to do the other way. If you'll taste the Lord, you'll find that He's good. And to search the Scripture daily is just up and up. It's this pursuing of God's wanting. I want to taste the Lord. Do you remember the Scripture where Jesus said Jesus went by the well, and there was a woman there at the well. And you remember the story, it's quite a reading, but there's quite a story there. But at the end of that, after Jesus had basically, well, the way she tells it in the Scriptures, it's almost like Jesus said more than was recorded. Yes. Because He didn't say a whole lot, but when she reported, He said, He told me all things I ever done. It sounds like that, as usually, there is a lot between the lines and all this, and a lot of story. And when she actually went back, if you remember, she went back to the city and went down there and said, try him. And you went, hey, come. I didn't believe him. I didn't believe him. But you sit there and let somebody look you in the eye and start telling you things that they can't know. And you start dealing with the things that... See, it was said of the Messiah that when He came, He would know all things. He would know all your life. So here He comes and she sees that, and then she can go and... What do you think about her power of testimony? You think she was convincing? I'm going to tell you, she was excitedly convincing enough that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in that Scripture, once the disciples come back and Jesus looked, and there was a great throng of people coming. Or it was surmised maybe that. But there was she had an effect because she tasted the Lord right there. There was an opportunity made, and she tasted the Lord. And all those people are going to come and try. Come and see. You taste the Lord, and the Lord is good. And I want to say this of my own personal experience. If there's ever been any lacks, it's never been the Lord. It's never been the Lord. It's my lacks. It's where I've not been readiness of, had a ready mind. It's where I didn't pursue after. Isaiah 55:6. Says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. There's an opportunity and time set for every individual, I believe, to get a taste. And if you taste, you'll find that He's good. You pray for me.